You are listening to Pandora's Box Radio with Kalia LaRoche. For more information about my products and services, counseling, coaching, hypnotherapy, books, and audios, please visit narcissismfree.com or pathbacktoself.com. Hello, and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. Today, I'm going to talk about the healing journey and the search for Mr. Right. Now, I'm saying Mr. Right because this is my journey. I'm talking about my journey. So if you are a man listening, I welcome you. I thank you for being here. It's been over 8 years now since my last long-term relationship ended. It's been a long journey of recovery that really started 20 years ago. When I first learned about narcissistic personality disorder and the insane, crazy-making dynamics that came with being in a relationship with a narcissist, my research led me to devoting my life to helping others recover from narcissistic abuse. All the while, I was working hard to break the toxic relationship patterns I continued to find myself in. I learned about trauma, PTSD, complex PTSD, healing core wounds, emotional healing, setting strong boundaries, speaking my truth, and most of all, I learned about self-love. When my last long-term relationship ended 8 years ago, I had to face the difficult reality that my ex was yet another narcissist. The interesting thing I learned about narcissism is how narcissism shows up in so many different packages. So often I hear from my counseling clients how the new love in their life is nothing like the narcissistic ex, and so they're quite certain that that person is not a narcissist. But in the end, narcissism shows up in different ways. It may not be narcissistic personality disorder in the classic sense, but borderline personality disorder has many of the same characteristics as NPD, people who are bipolar, or even drug and alcohol addicted display characteristics of NPD. This is because when someone has a personality disorder, another psychological disorder like bipolar or an addiction, they're very self-absorbed. They're often just not capable of thinking about anyone but themselves. I didn't know for sure what my ex had. It certainly didn't seem to be classic narcissism, but I certainly felt all the same crazy-making feelings I had with a narcissist when my relationship ended. I went through a dark night of the soul. I was unprepared for the feelings that would come rushing to the surface. I had to admit to myself that when my previous narcissistic relationships ended, I didn't have the tools to really deal with the depth of emotion that came flooding to the surface. It didn't matter who the relationship partner was, the feelings that came flooding to the surface when the relationship ended came from the same emotional well. They were simply triggered by a different person. These were the feelings of unworthiness. They were feelings of being unlovable, even hated. There was a belief that there was something seriously wrong with me, that I was somehow a bad person, and these were my core wounds and beliefs. But when our core wounds and beliefs are triggered by a bad breakup with someone who we believed really loved us, it can be excruciating. There was also the abandonment wound. My ex disappeared from my life overnight without warning, without even a word. He just vanished from my life. My core wounds made it all about me. I wasn't even worth a conversation. He couldn't even break up with me. He just disappeared. And I found out eventually he had run off with someone else. The first year was the hardest. I had to face the majority of the pain I'd been carrying around most of my life with me. It was the pain of rejection, abandonment, not feeling cared about or loved. I remember telling my therapist, "It feels like nobody's ever really cared about me." And her response was, "Nobody has ever really cared about you." In this case, it wasn't just a feeling. I was facing a deep truth. The most important people in my life never really cared about me. They never really cared about how I felt. They could never support me when I needed support. They could never really listen to me or hear me. This theme kept showing up in my life over and over again. The theme of drawing people into my life who didn't have the emotional capacity to really care about anyone but themselves. The pain of feeling unloved and uncared for stemmed back to early childhood. My therapist wanted me to get angry at my parents for not being there for me emotionally. But it was difficult for me to get in touch with my anger towards them. I didn't think I had any anger towards them. I had anger. I even felt a murderous rage. But my rage was towards my ex, the one who disappeared without notice. I hated him for that. My therapist kept telling me to get my ex's face off my pain and my anger. It was displaced. It belonged to my childhood. She told me that what I was feeling towards my ex was really the feelings I had for my parents. When we assign a certain face to our pain, it's very difficult to unassign that face and get to the root. When we're young children, we most often aren't allowed to really feel our anger towards our parents. We love our parents and depend on them for our very survival. And if they disappeared from our lives, we might die. Who would take care of us? It is the nature of the child to blame herself for the mistreatment or neglect she's experiencing. She believes it's her fault, that she's somehow a bad child. She's unlovable. She really doesn't matter. But what do we do with those painful feelings when we're young children? We disassociate from them and we begin the process of numbing out. Our deepest feelings go underground into our shadow. And they keep getting shoved underground until such a time that a life event opens the floodgates to the emotions that have been trapped in our shadow. And this is what happened to me 8 years ago. I went through the dark night of the soul before, when I went through the pain of narcissistic abuse and thought I wouldn't survive it. This is when I first learned about narcissistic personality disorder, 20 years ago. At that time, I focused on the disorder and trying to extract myself emotionally from that relationship. I saw a couple therapists. And one was a lifesaver because she was the one who was able to tell me what I was dealing with. She was the one that first introduced me to narcissistic abuse. But she didn't really help me to work with the intensity of the emotion that was flooding to the surface. Eventually, I pushed it all back down and moved on with my life, which included bringing more neglectful, emotionally unavailable, narcissistic men into my life. It wasn't until my relationship ended 8 years ago that I finally began to deal with the emotional pain in a way I had never dealt with it before. I had PTSD at the time, which was responsible for the intense anxiety that I was feeling. But the pain, the rage, and the anger that were flooding to the surface put me in a state of emotional overload, and this was highly traumatic for me. I had to deal with the emotional overload and the trauma of having all of my circuits fried. The first year after my breakup, I went through my third dark night of the soul. I cried more tears than I'd ever cried in my life. I learned how to use the baseball bat to release my rage. I learned how to be with my feelings, even when it felt I was going to crawl out of my skin. I learned how to be with myself in my pain instead of feeling I needed to pick up the phone and call someone. It was a very difficult year. The second year, I picked up my life and moved to Arizona. I needed a change of scenery. I had a male friend at the time who I stupidly let myself get involved with. It was a very quick replay of the ending of my last relationship where I kissed my husband goodbye at the airport and never saw him again. Only this time I kissed my boyfriend goodbye in the morning when he was leaving for a week-long retreat. And when he returned, I didn't hear from him. I was having coffee with a group of women, and one of the women mentioned that he was back from his retreat and had met the love of his life during the retreat and brought her back home with him. This triggered the deepest wound from my previous relationship when my husband ran off with another woman and didn't tell me what he was doing. This was yet another experience where the man in my life didn't care about me and how I felt. He just did what he wanted to do, without concern for me. Even though I moved to a new area for a fresh start, I continued having these really awful experiences with men. I was continuing to pick narcissistic, emotionally unavailable types. But the relationships burned out quickly. My next relationship had a very similar ending. I got involved with a neighbor who ended up running off with a young woman at a party that I was throwing for her. She seduced him right in front of me. Because he lived close to me, I couldn't get away. He was actually right next door. I ended up spontaneously packing up my van and driving to Colorado, where I stayed for 6 weeks. Although I was still attracting men who didn't care about me into my life, I was getting better at dealing with my feelings and not taking their behavior so personally. I got involved with another man a year or so later who seemed to be emotionally available. I thought I'd finally found someone who I could go the distance with, and we decided to spend time dating before we got intimate. I was following my own rules, which ironically was the case with the last several relationships that I was in. I didn't rush into them. We were friends first, but they still ended badly. When I finally did go the next level with this new man, he immediately withdrew on an emotional level. His fear of intimacy became apparent, and the very next day he met a 21-year-old woman and felt very drawn to her. He shared his feelings about her with me and told me he needed to explore his attraction to her. Although it hurt and brought up all my feelings of rejection and abandonment, it was strangely different this time. The feelings that it was somehow my fault didn't come up. I knew this wasn't about me, it was him. He was the one who feared intimacy to the point where he sabotaged our relationship. He came back after he explored his feelings with this young woman and professed his love to me and told me I was the one he wanted to be with. And I let him know I didn't want to be with him. We parted on friendly terms. About 6 months later, I met and got involved with another man who had some similar traits to the previous one, only this guy was over the top into me. He also seemed to be available for a relationship. We would have long talks about meaningful things, and he seemed to be committed to our relationship. He was kind, caring, and generous. But then his jealousy and possessiveness started to show. After 5 months, he became verbally abusive, and I ended the relationship. A close friend of mine told me he was already dating someone else within the first week of our breakup, and I broke into tears. It felt like I was so easily replaceable. This was the theme that was showing up over and over. All these men so easily going to another woman without any emotional investment in our relationship. After so many bad short-term relationships, I decided to do something different, to date a close friend who I didn't really have any romantic chemistry with. But eventually that didn't work out either because I just didn't feel the attraction and it wasn't fair to either one of us. I met another man at an event that I did feel attracted to, and I pursued that relationship. We spent some time together and I felt ready to take another chance. However, once we got involved with each other, I began feeling smothered and I needed to ask for some space. His reaction surprised me. He was fine with giving me space, but he would completely emotionally disconnect when he wasn't with me. When I talked to him about it, he didn't think that this was anything unusual. And I recognized that my emotional abandonment wound was being triggered, and I did my best to take responsibility for my own fears and my own wounds. It still felt strange that when he was with me, he was really present, but when he was gone on all levels. He explained to me later that when he was with me, he thought about me all the time, but when he was not with me, he only thought about me maybe 10% of the time. And I realized this was not the relationship I wanted. It wasn't healthy for me, so I ended it. Over the past 8 years, my experiences with dating have not been good. I decided I was going to be more conscious in my dating experiences and signed up for a dating site. My initial feeling was that it would give me the opportunity to really get to know different men and choose someone who was conscious and aware. But in my several months on the dating site journey, I ended up feeling frustrated and discouraged. This avenue didn't seem to be working for me either. After 20 years of unhealthy relationships, I began to ask the question, what's wrong with me that I've only attracted unhealthy relationship partners or nice guys that don't interest me? As I started to explore this, I came to realize that I had grown so much in the past 8 years. I wouldn't even be able to recognize my younger self. My wounds were healing. I was getting really good at ending relationships that were obviously not going anywhere. My recovery time was so much quicker. I no longer had meltdowns when a relationship ended badly. I learned to pick myself up, brush myself off, and keep going. Choosing one man after the next who didn't really care about me taught me how to care about myself. I recognized that I no longer felt that I was not worthy of the men who came into my life. Instead, I felt that they weren't worthy of me. They hadn't done the degree of work on themselves that I did. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know how to love or care. It wasn't about me. It was never about me. I realized that most people's emotional issues rise to the surface within the first few months of a new relationship. In the beginning, they seem to want what I want. They want love. They want connection. But their own deep core wounds and unresolved emotional baggage would eventually surface. And in my experience, it was baggage I wasn't going to add to my life. We all have some emotional baggage, especially when we're older and we've had more time to accumulate it. However, I was looking for someone who could fit their baggage in a small carry-on. I could deal with that. I came to realize through my dating experiences over the past 8 years that men simply did not invest in their own healing as much as the women in my life did. Now, I know some beautiful men who have invested in their own healing, and most of these men are in long-term committed relationships. And I know some women who have avoided their own emotional darkness like the plague. So I'm not saying women are somehow better than men. I'm only saying that in my experience, many men, especially older men, are emotionally disconnected. They haven't done their inner work. They wouldn't be able to handle the degree of emotional pain I suffered over the past couple decades on my healing journey. Many men on the dating websites lie about their age in order to attract younger women. They somehow don't consider how starting a relationship with a lie will create a dishonest relationship. Now, I know a lot of women lie about their age too, but I wasn't interacting with women on the dating sites, so I'm talking about my own experience. I only noticed that just as many men were misrepresenting themselves on a conscious dating site than men who were being honest about who they were. It began to feel like I was searching for a needle in a haystack, and I eventually lost interest. Right now, I'm really good with me. I don't need a man to complete me. I'm already complete. I've done the lion's share of my own shadow work. The good news is I'm no longer willing to settle for less than what I know I want and deserve. It's no longer about my not being good enough. It's now about my finding someone who's good enough for me. Finding love again is not the ultimate goal in life, but finding ourselves is. Loving ourselves enough to say no to the wrong people is the only way we will ever get to the right one. And sometimes we do have to kiss a lot of frogs on the journey to finding our prince or princess. It's also important to remember there's no such thing as happily ever after. Truly healthy, happy relationships require us to do the inner work, be vulnerable, and communicate honestly and openly. There's been a lot of pain on my healing journey. I've had a lot of relationships that ended in my core pain being triggered. But as a result, I've developed a healthier relationship with my pain, with my abandonment issues and my fear of rejection. I can handle it all without going to the core belief that there's something wrong with me. I realize it's not some flaw within me that is responsible for my still being single after 8 years. My personal and spiritual growth has been my priority. I remain committed to myself. I learned how to really love myself. And we can't ever really love someone else without first loving ourselves. I no longer need to search for Mr. Right. I need to be Mrs. Right and have that right relationship with myself. These past 8 years have made me so much stronger and wiser, and it's good that I had all the painful experiences that I had because they taught me so much about myself. It really did take a lot of different experiences of feeling uncared for to develop the level of self-care that I now have. I could have closed my heart and become bitter and angry, but this was never my choice. I let love, or rather the lack of love, break me open and show me the wounded parts of myself so I could heal and become a greater version of myself. In all the relationships of my past, I would have had to play small to stay in them, and I didn't want to play small. I wanted to expand into my best self, my highest and greatest expression of self. I know out there somewhere is someone who has also taken the road less traveled and come to know himself on the deepest levels. I know there's someone who is searching for me just as I search for him. But meanwhile, both of us are living our lives and not seeking anything outside of ourselves to fulfill us. We know better than that. And when we do finally meet, it will be the greatest love story. It will be a story where I will clearly be able to say it was worth the wait. It was worth all of the pain. It was worth the journey through darkness. It was worth every step it took me to become the butterfly. I was never meant to remain a caterpillar. I was never meant to be with a caterpillar. I've long since outgrown that form. And when we become the butterfly, we can only fly with another butterfly. I want to thank you so much for being with me as I shared my journey with you. Some of you may relate to the challenges on the path to finding love. But always remember, it's yourself you're truly looking to find. And once you really find yourself, your greatest and highest version of self, the rest will simply fall into place. If you're looking for support on your journey, I'm here to help you to traverse your own dark night of the soul, to work through your heartbreak, or to work through a traumatic or narcissistically abusive relationship. I'm now offering a free 15-minute consultation for those of you interested in having some sessions with me if you just want to talk to me for a few minutes. And you can find me at my website, narcissismfree.com. If you go to my counseling and hypnotherapy page, it will give you the information to sign up for that free session. So meanwhile, have a great day, and I will see you in the next podcast.